Chapter 15. The Battle of Trezolion A4. Broad beams of lightning gunfire cracked the air with sudden heat-driven displacement, shaking the storage cavern with unnatural thunder. A cohort of Thalaxi stalked past, guns flashing their coruscating arcs of death. Trezolion A4's subterranean agri-fields could not fall. If the world died, their main food supply would be lost, and they would be starved out. The fighting began there, against groups of traitor legion infiltrators seeking to end the campaign before it began. They had been spotted. Battle commenced. Naturally, the Magos Domina directed the fight from her fortress realm within the scepter station of the Heptalagon. Only her lucky underlings got to experience the thrill of combat. That is how she had put it to Call. Had his sense of self-preservation not intervened, he would have begged to differ. The legionaries opposing them wore blue, Night Lords or Alpha Legion. Call could not tell through the smoke. The signal pulse of their ident beacons was corrupted. Imperial codes had been replaced by the identifiers of the enemy. The smoke shrouded everything further than 5 meters away. Ruptured oxygen pipes quickened fires enough to make them burn steel. A stink of hot metal was overpowering. Call's sensors bleeped out a cacophonous din of alarms that stressed the spaces of his mind. Gas, fire, bullets, explosions, so many ways to die, and the coterie of minor machine spirits bonded to his mind were only too eager to tell him all about them. His Thalaxi advanced, methodically spraying the hall end with their weapons. Energy discharge of myriad sorts provided a colourful display. Phased plasma bursts and overcharged photons competed to see which could blaze brightest. Lasfire sped in short, straight lines. Artificial lightning zigged and zagged. A hexagonal crate of soil exploded. He saw a legionary go down, the gaping hole in its chest plate lined with the glow of molten ceramite. Another fell, drilled through in 3 different places by the indigo beams of a multi-laser. Mass reactives blew all over the frontal casing of one of the Thalaxi. It staggered, sinking lower upon its knees. Gas sprayed from a severed tube. Call thought it would fall, but it paused as it rerouted function away from damaged components. Then it lumbered on, the slight limp it now suffered hindering it not at all. The legionaries fell back like ghosts. The Thalaxi plodded on, weapons swinging on their gimbals as they tracked, locked onto and assessed everything that might pose a threat. A moment's relative quiet fell. Alarms wailed all over the facility. Decompression winds surged violently and died as breaches in the agri-caverns were made and bulkheads sealed against them. Call risked poking his head around the fallen utility column he cowered behind. He gripped his Volkite Serpenta so tightly his fingers ached. He had not fired a single shot. An oxygen pipe overhead roared like a flamethrower. Call risked accessing the infosphere to hunt out its command protocols and shut it off. He found it. Like an extinguished candle, the pipe went out. The wall opposite was blackened for meters around. At least now he felt he had done something useful. The Thalaxi paused 10 meters away. Call had a minor picked view in his third eye run a text screed eavesdrop on their conversation. Their communications were terse, to the point and exclusively concerned with killing. Their next course of action agreed, they advanced again. Call swallowed. He was assigned as support to them. He would have to follow. He did not want to. He was unaccustomed to the armor he wore. The weight of the servo harness mounted on his back was supported by suspensors, but the mass upset his gait, and he was forced to move oddly, ridiculously, to keep up with the shock troops. Chiming, more insistent than his threat indicators, announced an incoming communication. Hester Aspertia Sigma Sigma's mirrored visage imposed itself over his field of vision.
"Call," she said. "Nothing like battle, is there?"
She was gloating. No doubt she could read his discomfort through her battle omnispecs. He was subordinate to her, and no one that served Sigma Sigma was beyond her oversight. He imagined his craven heartbeat racing across her own displays, and he attempted to quell his fear.
"The enemy have fallen back," he said.
"The Ordo Reducta Tagma serving here is a fine one,"
she said.
But the war goes ill elsewhere. The Heptalagon stands, but the extraction station at Tresolian A3 has already fallen. The enemy will be sending reinforcements from there.
What should I do? He said.
Attend to the fallen. Fight, she said. I have much to deal with.
Her face vanished from his third eye. The squeal of treads on metal grabbed his attention. Smoke curled around a fast-moving tank festooned with weaponry.
Legionary Sicaran Destroyer Tank Sector 2,
Call Vox blurted. He ducked as it opened fire. The Thalaxi were incapable of fear, and therefore evidenced a more heroic reaction than Call. They immediately returned fire. Unlike the Legionary's battleplate, the tank's hide was proof against their weaponry. Earthing sparks fizzed from its hull. Plasma carved molten slashes into its glacis, but it accelerated towards the cyborgs, spewing laser beams. A thalax at the far end of the line spouted magnesium-white fire from its blank faceplate. It fell to its knees and clanged to the floor face down, its organics reduced to greasy smoke. A second lost an arm to a lasbeam. The limb spun through the air and clattered off the wall behind where Call hid. He cringed at the noise.
"Armored Assault Sector 2!"
he shouted. He sent out a data burst and activated his locator beacon at full strength, not caring who might lock onto it. The Thalaxi parted to allow the tank through. It caught one a glancing blow on the leg as it passed, knocking the cyborg down. Stabbing fires flickered into the tank's weaker rear armor. It locked its tracks, skidding to a halt right by Call's hiding place. It bore the dark blue heraldry of the Night Lords, and was covered in chains dangling bones and bloody scraps that had recently adorned living bodies. The tracks spun in opposite directions, pivoting the tank on the spot to face the dwindling number of cyborg troops. Call hunkered down, praying to the Omnissiah that he would not be detected. He came close to giving away his position with a joyous emission of data when a short pointed message wrote itself across his internal displays. Help is at hand. A red marker blinked into being on his cartograph. Reinforcements moved slowly towards a companionway gallery overlooking the cavern. Chanting the doleful single digit of death,
0000,
a coven of Myrmidon destructors moved in to attack. They were massive things, belligerent grotesques, humming with power, fanatic technici who had given their bodies entirely over to augmentation. The Thalaxi they came to support had the uniformity of Manufactorum-produced units and appeared inhuman. Not so the Myrmidons. The Myrmidons were architects of their own enhancement, and so they were blessed with the potency the machine god provides to he who works his own will upon his own form. Little more of flesh remained to them than it did to the Thalaxi, but they appeared more human for their ugliness. On one, a polished skull, most likely the warrior's original, jutted out on a steel cable neck from beneath hunched shoulders. His arms bore matched plasma cannons. Eyes of red glass swept the battlefield with the thin lines of ranging lasers. From the front of another dangled a pair of flesh and blood arms, incongruously wired into a metal breastplate. All of them wore robes, though they did not need them. They were the priests of the machine god as destroyer, horrific and potent with the motive force in reward for their devotion. Their stride was as measured, slowed to a reverential pace by the burden of their inbuilt reactors and enormous weapons. Their heads swayed with their ponderous motion. The Sicaran noticed them, and its turret rotated to bring its twin weapons to bear. Double pulses of las cannon fire tore up towards the companionway, catching it from beneath. Gobbets of metal sprayed upwards. One of the Myrmidons was caught full in the chest, rocked back by the explosive reaction of cohesive light contacting matter. The others repaid the favour. Call's ears vibrated painfully to the building thrum of a conversion beamer powering to fire. A cumbersome, complex weapon to operate, in the hands of the Myrmidon lord who bore it, it reached its full, deadly potential. Only one such as he had the internal space to mount dampers required to stabilize the weapon correctly. the cranial implants to calculate the precise focal point for the beam reaction, the internal reactor to feed its massive hunger for power. Light gathered in the weapon's exhaust vents.
"Omnisire exultant,"
the Myrmidon blared through multiple Vox transmitters. A blinding shaft of energy burst from the weapon's blunt end and slammed into the Sycoran's turret. This did not cause the damage. At a conversion beamer's focal point, matter underwent an instantaneous conversion to energy. It was this that ripped away the turret with the force of a minor fusion reactor going critical. The detonation was deafening. Call managed to pull himself back behind his cover just in time to avoid being blinded by the accompanying afterflash and immolated by the fire of freed atoms. Pressure ripped at his robes. The explosion's electromagnetic pulse sent his implants haywire. For a moment he lay stunned, machine senses offline, human senses numbed. He pulled himself up with the help of his servo arms. The Sycoran was a blackened husk. The top half had been completely obliterated. The bottom half was cupped like a palm, holding a guttering fire.
"So perish all who turn the gifts of the machine god against the Omnisire," intoned the Myrmidon.
Call glanced up at them. He ran down the corridor, pleasantly surprised at the extra strength his power armor gave him. But he was too slow to catch his charges. The legionaries had been sheltering at a junction. The flash and rattle of weapons receded down the corridor to the left, leading to one of the vast cavern fields. The cyborg's djinn sight was immune to the overload that had floored Call, and they had already moved on. He looked around helplessly. Dead night lords and word-bearers were scattered about the decking. Their colours were different to one another, but the grisly nature of the trophies they wore made them brothers of a sort and set them apart from legionaries as Call knew them. There was something else there, a ragged corpse in black with the stature of a standard human. Sensing something amiss, Call approached it gingerly, priming his serpenta. He pointed the weapon at the figure, though he had no reason to believe it alive. The figure had been felled by an access panel, whose workings he seemed to have been in the process of subverting with a portable cogitation unit. He was face down, hidden by his robes, one pale hand stretched out to the side of him. Call's mechanicum power armor allowed him to roll the augmented figure over with his foot. The corpse was a tech adept. The augmetics told Call that. But his robes were black, a color no forge world wore, and the sacred symbology of the cult Mechanicus was perverted. Around the machina opus, stitched over his heart, were eight arrows, like those of a compass rose, and the skull, contained within the cogs, wore a demonic grimace. Call looked more closely. There were strange malformations in the adept's flesh that augmentation could not explain. His jawline was fringed with bony excrescence that had grown over some of the metal of his implanted voxmeter. Upon his head, something moved upon his head, wet and sinuous. Gripped with foreboding, Call leaned in to see what nestled between the cabling across the adept's scalp. As Call bent down, the adept's eyes snapped open. They were like no eyes Call had ever seen. Vertical slit pupils, split irises, striated with purple and gold. Instinctively, Call fired his Volkite into the man's face. Metal and flesh vanished beneath the torrent of energy, exploding into steam. He shut off his gun when the body ignited. Dying augmetics sent the headless man's limbs into a maniac dance. Entranced, horrified, Call watched the corrupt adept burn. He had killed his first man. Suddenly, the weapon felt more natural in his hand. Call remained staring at the corpse for some time, until the plaintive psalm of a distress cant intruded itself onto his consciousness. The fallen Myrmidon was still alive. He had work to do. He went back up the corridor to the Myrmidon's aid. His companions had brought him down from the companionway. When Call appeared, their mechadendrites and other subsidiary limbs laid the injured cyborg down and they stepped back. Call knelt to attend the injured man, if man he could claim to be. He set about his work eagerly. He was well versed in the secrets of mechanics and biologics, and healed the warrior's wounds efficiently. Soon he was immersed in the hallowed mysteries of nerve shunts and biologic emulator organ repair. When he was done, the Myrmidons departed with a meaningful nod and chittered Benaric's speed prayers. More thanks pulsed from their augmented minds into his, along with a token of gratitude, a promise of future help. The Myrmidons were holy avatars of the machine god's wrath. Call had earned their respect. The moment should have been precious, but Call could not put the dead adept's disfigurements from his mind.